The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and I've got the Amplified up, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, listen to the answer. Then, here's the promise, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And it starts off with if. And Mark, that's how you started this show. And Bethany and I, when she's talking about relationship, exactly right. And we don't have to have our act together. He just says, come on, if you will do this. And it's in the process of drawing close that watch what he does, and then bringing us into being the men and women that he's definitely called us to be.
Are you ready to join the reclamation that Herb Marx is talking about? Are you ready to become part of the chorus that takes back our country, not to politicians, but to God? Then stay tuned for a National Day of Prayer special edition. That's next on Sought Out Global Radio. And we welcome you to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and joined once again by Sought Out Ministry leaders Herb and Bethany Marx, who join me today on the phone. Herb, today is National Day of Prayer, and that is a important day, and it has an important meaning. And I think it's a really appropriate topic for us to discuss. And you raised this and said this is a perfect time for us to have this discussion and talk about what prayer means, not only to our country, but also to us in our individual lives. And just to begin to talk and unveil this topic of National Day of Prayer and what it means and the significance of it in this particular era and time that we find ourselves in.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I'm just agreeing with you, Mark. It's an era that's really important for America, and all that she stands for, and what she's facing, what we are facing as a country. America is blessed by God, and He's caused her to be great. And I just feel like we're and everything points to the fact that we are in a strategic but also a vulnerable place as far as her soul and the people of America. So prayer is the result of this country being at a Y in the road, I feel. And I believe that that's the case, that she's really at a precarious, that's the word I was searching for, a precarious place right now. And as we come to pray, National Day of Prayer, May 5th, which is today, that we would all lift our voices, because there's a horrible strategy that seems to have been pretty successful up until now, I think. Even with Christians, in the fact that they believe that their voice, that their vote, doesn't really change things. And it's not so much an individual vote as it is very much the fact that we're dealing with a mindset that has swept away an ideology away from being Christ-centered, and that is the fact that that when you embrace as a ideology and a philosophy that God has placed this country where she needs to be for the sake of affecting nations with the gospel, then all of a sudden you find you're a very significant part of a whole. It's a family of God. And so there's nobody that is individual, and yet somehow to divide and conquer has been hell's philosophy or strategy against the church, and it seemed to work in the fact that the last major election, only 10% of Christians who were registered voted last time. So if they're not going to vote, because here's where I'm going with the idea of prayer. I'm sorry, I seem to be taking a lot of time here, but fact is that if Christians would pray, I'm pretty convinced they would vote, because this is the government system that we're in, and I know that God stirs the heart. I'm not telling you that God has, you know, a person for us to vote for. He's just simply saying, you know, get responsible, stand up. And if people would pray, I know they'd end up at the polls. But we need to, first of all, be praying for our nation, above all. And then, of course, a byproduct of that is to get responsible also with who we're saying ought to be leading this country.
Do you think that we are a vote first, pray next? Let me say that again. Do you think that we are a vote first, pray second nation, as opposed to a pray first, vote second?
Oh, Marcus, yeah, I appreciate you asking that, because it's pretty apparent that we don't do either. In my opinion, if I had to choose between one of the two, I know that we pray even less. Those who call themselves by Jesus' name, Christians in this country, would just simply turn their faces to God and lift their voice.
Yeah.
It would cause a tidal wave in this country. And just a side note, of our kids that are in their high schools, if only 3 out of 100 kids really stand up and begin to be a voice, or in other words, just stand, not evangelize, just simply stand. 3 in 100 would cause the beginning of a revival. I mean, it doesn't take much. And we're in hiding. I think that we've been intimidated. And I believe that there's a breeze of the Holy Spirit that is blowing. And people are beginning to shake themselves and stand up. Today, I saw a truck that had a huge Bible. Must have stood 5 feet tall on top of his hood. On top of the cab, I mean to say. And it said, "Got love, joy, peace," and then it was the Bible on it. And the second car that I saw was actually yesterday when Bethany and I were getting ice cream, and this car went by, and all of its back panels were painted out, and it was telling the story of Jesus. So the last 2 days, all of a sudden I see these cars, and it's like evangelists starting to step up, to a higher game level, as it were. And I say, you go, because anything that causes a person to pause and be reminded, well worth the effort.
Yes. So, Bethany, my wife and I held a prayer meeting back in 2012. We invited some 150 Facebook friends to come before the national election in October. And literally only one couple came, our next door neighbors. No one else came. What do you think is missing that we don't appear to be hungry enough to pray for our country?
I think if we're doing it out of a task, we've got a task list so long.
That's good.
Already. I think if we really, truly, out of relationship, run to him, if we really, truly want his advice, if we want to have a conversation that isn't even a desperate one, like, I need to know now. Yeah. But, you know, I think we start there. I think we fall so easily into task. And but I don't think that he, I think it's us. It's us really wanting him. Do we want him? Do we care what he thinks? Do we want to please him? I'm not sure that a lot of us think about, are we pleasing him a whole lot during a day? I think we've lost that, and that's intimacy. That's really wanting relationship and pursuing him. And then you come to a task like, you know, voting, since we picked that subject today, and we have a conversation. You know, I mean, this is a most interesting election, and I've had some very interesting conversations about it with God, and I can't share it on the air, but then we have a conversation about things, and it's out of relationship, not out of task.
Yeah, I like that, because that personally speaks to me, because, you know, my wife and I will go to the local school and we will walk around the grounds and pray around the schools with some friends of ours. And it is a, well, the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. And I never, ever want to have a situation where I didn't have something that I needed from God because I was too lazy to ask, or I didn't have enough relationship to spend time with him. And one of the things I've noticed in my walk with God, and in particular among the men in the body of Christ, is there appears to be a struggle or a lack of hunger among men, speaking generally. I recognize that there are obviously pockets of deeply passionate praying men. But they're on the whole a group that is more comfortable being garage guys, which is what they spend far more time making sure that the garage is clean. I mean, so clean that they have TVs set up in there and they got chairs set up in there and they're ready to host and have guests in their garage. But there's no fervent desire for prayer. And I just feel like if so much of what we're dealing with is because men haven't devoted themselves to enough time with God. And if we would just begin, you know, it would just begin spending time with him, then all of the heart cries for intimacy, I feel that would come.
You know, I think that man caves, you know, garages, make great prayer caves. You know, they just do. And there's nothing like when guys get together. And Mark, Friday morning, I get together with guys. There's as many as 80 guys who show up at between 4, 5, and 6 in the morning. And we stand in a circle, and we pump our fists in the air, and we all shout as one. And it sends chills up your back, you know, and the guys really get into it. And these are guys from all walks, you know, business owners, Boeing employees, restaurant owners. I mean, you know, there's men that are who are CEO and presidents who own their own companies, multi-million dollar companies. And these guys come and they get into it, you know, college students, young men. And so when that kind of fire begins to hit a guy, Mark, everything you're saying begins to shift in these fellows. And these guys begin to have eyes for their families even more, for their wives, for their community. And, you know, some of the guys, as we've prayed fervently, have gone after some of the, just some of the compromises that have risen around us recently. And they show up at public meetings, at courthouses, and they're very respectful and they're honoring, and they show value, but they challenge some of the laws that are sneaking into our communities. It's just that kind of thing is happening. So I know it can happen, because guys are made for this, to be destiny changers.
But, you know, Herb, do you feel like sometimes we're expecting a bolt from lightning to come down and smack us on the head, and we're going to have this, like, slain in the spirit kind of experience, like happened in the Old Testament? And I honestly feel like so much of what plagues us in society, in the body of Christ, in the church, with prayer in general, comes from a lack of, well, we just simply don't make the cold-blooded act of the will. We just don't choose.
It is a decision, that's true. And my wife just made, I think her comment is focused around, do we really know him? I mean, her comment about intimacy is so spot on. Because without that, I think as men, we then kind of wonder if we're doing well enough, if we've pleased Daddy well enough. And a lot of guys, you know, we kind of beat ourselves up and don't think that he's really all that happy with us. I think if we were to get, if we could just have a momentary view of how Jesus looks at his men, it would blow us off of our horse, because truly, what his opinion is of us and how we think he looks at us mm-hmm. is so often diametrically opposed. He's not displeased. He's calling us, wooing us, helping us discover how he has made us powerful and strong and men of destiny and purpose. And that if we knew that our voice being raised could shift a region, let alone our neighborhood, that has been one of the most successful diabolical strategies from hell that has kept us from this amazing truism, and that is prayer changes things, and it does work. It does work. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and I've got the Amplified up, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, listen to the answer. Then, here's the promise, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And it starts off with if. And Mark, that's how you started this show. And Bethany and I, when she's talking about relationship, exactly right. And we don't have to have our act together. He just says, come on, if you will do this. And it's in the process of drawing close that watch what he does, and then bringing us into being the men and women that he's definitely called us to be.
Yes.
And that's certainly not something that's quiet. No, you're not hearing me, you know, talking about being noisy and being something that's obstinate or agitating. No. This is what privilege we have is so classy, but full of destiny. And here we have our country at, a precarious Y in the road. People, I don't care how people pray, just so that they do. That's it. Just make a sound, lift it up. He hears.
And I think that's the key with these men that you meet with, is our pastor asks men to come. They're wanted. And I want to say to everyone listening to us, God wants to talk to you. Have a conversation and pray today. Take time. Take the next 5 minutes after you're done listening to our show and talk to God. Talk to him about what's on your heart. If it's business, if your kids, if it's the elections like we brought up, pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Will you do it? Will you pray today with everyone in the nation? If we join together, do it.
Boy, that's good, honey. I'm so glad I'm married to you. because if we would recognize that the divide and conquer has been very successful, even amongst believers, then the opposite of that is oneness.
Amen.
And as we come into oneness, come on, that is powerful stuff. Because I picture it this way, that as we lift our voices, God gathers them together. And the more the merrier, the more the bigger. But he pulls them all in, and because we do make a sound, and this is the sound of the kingdom. And what God drops on our hearts as a conviction and as a burden, and as we respond in this way, it goes vertical again. And then God receives it, and then he sends it back to earth as done, because he brought his conviction to the earth upon his people. But his people responded, linked arms with him, as a father does with the sons and daughters. And we go with him in this thing, even though it's still Daddy who has the power to change things. And he does. But he chooses to do it, here it is, only when his people cry out. I mean, he's made this decision in so many of the shifts and changes. And I read a book recently of 32 miracles because of prayer, all starting at the foundation of our founding fathers up until recent. And truly, this country is a country of miracles. Many presidents called for days of fasting, called for times of prayer. And the miracles that happened would realize that this is indeed a sovereign country.
Amen.
And miracles.
Amen. And I can't help but feel like for so many people the lack of prayer comes from a distance or a feeling like it's not knowing that I'm going to be able to hear God, or not knowing if I really do hear God. Oh, that's just me. That's just my mind that's inside me. And a lot of times, I just want to say to listeners, a lot of times we have what we think are thoughts that cross our minds. And then I ask myself, is that normally the way I would think? And I'm like, it is not normal for me to think a certain way. And that is one of the things that tipped me off as being something that I need to pay attention to, that may be something that God is specifically saying. But there's a promise in the Word that, you know, there obviously the Word is full of promises, but to all our listeners, God simply says in Matthew 7:7, he says, ask, seek, and knock. He says, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say he might open the door. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Let's go a little bit farther, because I love what it says in Jeremiah that so many of us know, 29, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, and they are plans to prosper you, not to hurt you. And then it goes on and says, if you will come and seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. He doesn't play with our emotions, Mark. He truly is trying to draw us into interaction with him. And for 2016, that is the word that I got for the church, intimate interaction all this year. God is drawing us into interaction with him, but not from afar, but on an intimate way. And so when you bring that up in Matthew, here's the promise again. If, then he will. And you can't miss it, because his character towards us truly is for our best. When Adam saw the apple and God said, don't touch it, everything else is yours. And can you imagine the magnificence of what they were experiencing? And God said, and this is yours. This is all yours. But when they laid eyes on the apple, that's where the adversary came and said, but he's keeping the very best from you. And all of a sudden, it was a casting of a doubt on God's character. And that is the age-old nemesis that we deal with today. And that's why we doubt so much. So your question is a great one, Mark. And that is that sometimes we really wonder, well, if we knew his character, we would realize that if we would just lift a sound, God is so for us that he even moves mountains to make us successful. And I don't mind using that word, because truly he has our prosperity in mind. And that's out of Jeremiah that I shared with you. Because if we would just seek him with all of our heart, then he will do this thing. He really wants to engage our voices so that we can learn what we're about here. Book John says the anointing will teach you in all things, not some, all. So this is really an all-inclusive environment regarding the word, because he will do it, all things, the promises are there, and as the church, let's go get it. Come on, let's do this thing.
Amen. So will you wrap us up in prayer, Herb, just to pray over the listeners on this day of prayer, the fervent need to see prayer explode and just move like a wildfire, not only through the body of Christ, but for the purpose of revival to reach out to the community, to the marketplace, for a declaration of God's word to go forth. And we know that where it goes, it does not return void.
Here we are. And America needs the sound of the people of God to raise up wherever you are so it can all be collected, because this company is precariously teeter-tottering and she could go either way. We need to call back into place the awakening of her soul. Father, we ask for an anointing to come down upon those who turn their faces to you and begin to call on your name. I ask your forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord. Today, I lift up my voice. Save America. In Jesus' name.
We do hope you'll join us in our prayers for America, for this the greatest nation in the world, that she would return to God in a greater way again, to unlock her potential as a nation that can truly change the world. You know, it's never too late to give to Sought Out Global Radio. Remember, we could never bring you Sought Out Global Radio without the generous gifts from our listeners. For more information on giving, please go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com. Well, I'm afraid we're all out of time. For Herb and Bethany Marks, thanks again for joining us. Be sure to join us again next week right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.